So as we were saying to the boys and girls, there's only 5 days left until Christmas. So I hope that you all have bought your cards and sent them. I think tomorrow's the last day of post if you haven't done so. Time is running out. But I wonder what approach you take when you are choosing your cards. You go into the shop and there's lots of cards available. I wonder, do you just pick the first one you see? Or are you a wee bit tight and you look at the price and you go for the cheapest ones? But I think generally, in most cases, you want to get one that has a great message on it. You want to get one that sums up what Christmas is all about, and especially to that loved one you're sending it to. But this year, I've come across some COVID Christmas cards. Maybe you've seen some as well. They're quite funny. And they're coming up on the screen here now. One that says, Merry Christmas. There's another one that says, the year of self-isolating. They're going to come at some point at the right time as we were talking to the boys and girls. Or we thought it would be okay by Christmas, but it all ended in tears. And in England, that is, of course, everything ended in tears this Christmas. They can be quite funny cards, but actually they paint the reality of what life is like for so many this Christmas. And maybe you will feel frozen out or isolated on your own. Maybe you will end up actually in tears because of what's going on all around us. Difficult circumstances. But today we are going to see that in spite of all this, we still can have a great Christmas. Because today you will hear a great message that an angel brought to shepherds who were in a dark place, out on their own, out in the fields. And we'll see that out of great fear, they came to know a great joy because they heard the message of a great Savior. So firstly, let's think about a great fear. We see in verse 8, we're told about the shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock at night. When we think of shepherds, we maybe think of them as decent, hard-working folk. Maybe you think of a farmer today driving about in their pickup with a cattle trailer on behind, ordinary people. But that's not how the shepherds were thought of in the days of Jesus' birth. No, they were seen as outcasts in society. They were thought of as being the lowest of the low. People would have avoided them. They didn't want to come near them. Not only because they were a wee bit stinky and they wore minging clothes, but because they thought that shepherds couldn't be trusted. They weren't people who could even give a testimony in court at that time. They weren't respectable people. And so the shepherds were used to being isolated. They were used to being cut off from the rest of society. They were used to living in harsh conditions out in the field all night. It's interesting that Luke draws our attention to them being out at night. Because often in the Bible, darkness picks up on the sinfulness of humanity. These shepherds would have been very aware of their sinfulness because they'd have been reminded of it time and time again by others looking down on them, pointing the finger at them. Yet, in his mercy and by his grace, God chooses these outcasts, these people who were looked down on by others. God chose them to announce the coming of his Son into the world. These were the first people who would announce this good news. And so into that dark night, the angel of the Lord appeared to these shepherds, and we're told that they were filled with great fear. These men were terrified at what they had seen. Now imagine you were in that situation in a dark night and someone jumped up on you, you'd probably be scared. Never mind seeing an angel burst onto the scene, we might be a wee bit scared of that. But this being scared here, this being terrified, is not just them being taken by surprise. It's more than that. This fear is coming from them being in the presence of the Lord. Because it says the glory of the Lord shone around these angels as they brought this news. You see, when sinners come into the presence of a holy God, the only response is fear. In Exodus 33, Moses had asked the Lord to show him his glory. And there he was told, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." Or think about Isaiah 6 and that great vision of the seraphim crying out. They said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." And in that moment, Isaiah was broken. He said, "Woe is me." He was broken of his sin because he came before the glory and the presence and the holiness of God. And so here, as the shepherds encounter this angel, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, they had a great fear because they realized that they were great sinners. You know, each of us must also come to that realization in our own lives. But of course, that doesn't come by an angel bursting onto the scene here today to tell us that news. These were extraordinary circumstances surrounding the birth of Jesus. We don't have angels coming today to tell us this news, but as we gather here for worship each week, we are coming into the presence of God. As we read from the scriptures, as we hear it preached, this is the word of God speaking to us. And through it, we're made aware of our sinfulness. Because, you know, every one of us have sinned. Every one of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And so when we as sinners encounter God and we come to see his glory, we also ought to be filled with that great fear, just as those shepherds were. I wonder, do you realize that it's a good thing to have experienced that fear of God in your life? Because that means you have been convicted of your sin. You know who you are before a holy God. You have come to know the glory and the splendor of him and know your own sinfulness before him. You see, we all must come to that point in our lives before we can actually know the great joy of Christ. And that's the second thing we see here is a great joy. Joy is one of those words you'll find on many Christmas cards. You maybe have even a decoration hanging in your tree with the word joy on it. Because we want a joy-filled Christmas. We want that time of happiness, that time of delight over this season. But in God's common grace to all people, we all experience joy at some level throughout our lives. Even at this time of the year, we think of the joy of tucking into a big Christmas dinner, getting into the turkey and the stuffing and the well, maybe not the Brussels sprouts, but we get into the joy of that. Maybe it's for you, it's joy of seeing children opening presents or grandchildren being delighted at what they've received. Maybe you have joy of meeting family, even if it is only three households at one time. Joy is a word that is mentioned many times in the Bible. But actually, there are only a handful of times where it mentions great joy. These two words together, there are very few instances where it actually mentions it. We'll be hearing tonight about the wise men, that story of them coming to meet Jesus. But they traveled far to see him, and in Matthew 2, it says that they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Sometime later in the gospel, in Matthew 28, at the resurrection of Jesus, remember the woman left the empty tomb. A wonderful moment. And what did they say? It said that they were filled with great joy. Or as the disciples witnessed Jesus' ascension, Luke 24 says, they returned with great joy. These are all incredible moments in the whole life of Jesus where great joy was brought about to those who encountered him and came to know him. We also see that as this announcement was made to these shepherds, these terrified shepherds. The angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." This news of great joy came to those who had great fear. See, this angel had not come to bring God's righteous judgment or the wrath of God on these shepherds as they might have expected as sinners. No, in this moment, the angel brought assurance that they don't need to be afraid. They don't need to fear because of the gospel message that was brought to them, a gospel message that would turn their fear into great joy. What a wonderful change it is in someone's life when that happens. When they hear this good news, when they receive it, they come into God's presence with joy, great joy. But look at who this message is for here. The angel says it's for all people. And that doesn't mean that all people will hear this good news. It doesn't mean that all people will receive this message. It doesn't mean that all people will have this great joy in their life. But it does mean that all types of people will hear and will respond to the gospel. See, this is a great joy that's not limited to kings or those in high positions in society. It's not for those only who have cleaned up their life or are decent people or those who come to church week by week. No, this good news of great joy is for men and women, for boys and girls, for young and old, for rich or poor, for down and outs, for those who are successful in life. It's for those who are outcasts in society. People like these shepherds who were left on their own out in that field at night. See, this good news is for everyone here today. No matter who you are or what you have done in your life or where you're from or what your background is. But as you hear this good news, have you received it? Have you been assured of that transformation in your life where great fear has been turned to great joy? I wonder, do you know that great joy in your life today? But that great joy can only come about because of a great Savior. Friends of our family recently welcomed a baby girl into their family, but there were people who are obsessed by names. And for 9 months, they were always asking us, what name will we give this baby? Well, but what about that? What about that? They wanted the right name, the perfect name. And here in Luke, back in chapter 1, that when the angel appeared to Mary, she was told to call his name Jesus. She's told he would be great. Here in verse 11, the shepherds are told this baby that has been born today in the city of David, he is the Savior, who is Christ, the Lord, names that are so fitting for who he is. Because they tell us about not only who he is, but what he came to accomplish. See, that night, as the shepherds heard these names, they were out in that field watching their sheep. But for thousands of years, every Jewish person was watching and waiting for the promised Messiah to come. They were waiting for the Savior of the world who would come and rescue them and deliver them. Of course, throughout history of God's people, we saw many types of deliverer, many rescuers. God raised up judges. He raised up kings. He raised up different people at different times to rescue in those circumstances. But none of those people were the true Savior. None of them could bring about an eternal kingdom. None of them could bring about peace or an everlasting rule over all. You see, it was this child who was born in Bethlehem, who was the appointed Messiah. He's the one who is greater than any king or ruler who ever existed in history, because he is Christ the Lord, as it says here. Mention of this word, Lord, shows that God himself had come among his people. This is the eternal Son of God who was promised he would come and take on human form to become a great Savior of the world. But he didn't come to save his people from a Roman army or from Caesar Augustus, who's mentioned earlier in the chapter. Or he didn't come to save us from a global pandemic such as coronavirus. No, he came to save all types of fearful people from their sin. He came to save us from the wrath of God against sin. Because you see, left to our own devices, left to ourselves, we would experience the full extent of God's wrath and judgment against sin. Sadly, that will be the case of many people who continue to trust in themselves. Those who continue to look to the things around them to save them. There will come a day when they will fear greatly because of the wrath of God that comes on them. You see, no amount of goodwill, no amount of generosity, no amount of giving gifts to others or showing love at Christmas time will save you. There is only one Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the good news that the angels brought on that first Christmas. In fact, it's great news. It's great news for all who truly receive this message and receive Jesus as Savior and Lord in their life. But of course, as we said to the boys and girls, that saving work wasn't fulfilled in that manger in Bethlehem. It was only accomplished as Jesus went on to the cross, where he suffered and he died for our sin. Your sin, my sin. It was all put on him. He took the wrath of God against that sin so that we didn't have to. And he didn't stay dead on that cross because he rose victoriously from the grave on the third day. So that all who believe in him, all sorts of people, all people from different backgrounds, those who believe in him, no need to be terrified of coming into his presence. No need to be fearful anymore, because we can come with great joy, knowing that our sin has been forgiven in him, knowing that we have that new life, that right standing before him, because we come in the name of Jesus. This is a great joy that only comes through knowing a great Savior. But you know, that great joy doesn't change in your life. Once you have received Christ, once you have that great joy, it doesn't change. Even though you may be masked up this Christmas, even though you might be isolated and on your own, even though you may go through circumstances that leave you in tears, that joy of the Lord in your life, that great joy doesn't waver. Because we have a Savior who never changes, who never leaves us, who never forsakes us. And so we continue to have that deep joy in our life because we have that new life in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing it is at Christmas to be reminded of that great joy and to know that great joy in your life. So that no matter what this Christmas brings, whether it brings trials and difficulties or sadness or hardships, you can say this is a great Christmas because you have no need to fear anymore. You have received Christ Jesus. You have that great joy because of our great Savior. I hope he is your Savior today, and I hope you have that great joy in your life. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the good news, the gospel message that was proclaimed by these angels to humble shepherds out in the field at night. We know that there was great fear as sinners encountered the glory of God. And Lord, we ought to fear if we are still in our sin, because there will come a day of judgment, there will come a day of wrath against that sin. But yet, Lord, we thank you for this good news, this great news of a Savior who came into this world, who took on our sin, who took on the wrath of God against that sin, so that through believing in him, through trusting in him as Savior and Lord, that sin has been turned away from us. We have that new life. We have that life of great joy. Lord, we thank you that that great joy cannot be taken away from us. Even though things around us crumble, even though things in life seem so uncertain, even if in times of despairing, times of grief, times of sadness, times of sickness, we thank you and praise you that this great joy remains constant, because we have a Savior who remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Lord, may this be a great Christmas for each one here today, because we rejoice in Christ Jesus, the Savior, the Lord of our lives. And we pray this in his name. Amen.